Dear Jesus, today we thank you that we're in your church. We thank you that people can sing, can pray. Thank you for the lesson Jenny's got for our children. And I pray, Jesus, that you would remind us today that no matter where we are, you've got us here today. No matter where we are spiritually, you've got a plan for us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and give you a future. Jesus, help us to find your plan. Help us to know that you got one for each of us. And so we love you, Jesus. And today we honor you, give you our time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you're here today. And I know we have probably went over a little bit on our time, but I'm not going to worry about time. So can I borrow another 30 minutes of your busy 168-hour work week? And give you something that'll prayerfully give you some good news. Chris, there you go. Let me try this. Who is that? How about Princess Diana? That's Whistler's mother. Her name was Anna. She had a great son, went to paint that picture. And doesn't she just look beautiful to fit in there to... That was the song that she whistled. That's why she was whistling. How about this, Mom? Jackie O, yeah. How about that, Mom? That's the Queen Mum. Yes. That was when she came. You talk about a rough life. She and her husband, Philip, were on vacation, and she got word that her dad had died. That meant two things. You got to come home, and you're the queen. How'd you like that? So had a young 22-year-old, wasn't she beautiful back then? And she's aged well, though. She still carries on very well. Oldest monarch in the world. I'll give you one last, Mom. Boy, this little girl looks tough. That's my mama. That's my mama. And I remember we'd go to a cousin's house, and my Uncle John, every Friday, fixed brown beans and cornbread. He was predictable. So we'd show up, you know, this Friday happened to be, and walked in, and my mama was holding my arm, and she got a little bit older, and would set her down at the table and give her something to eat. And I went over, and Carol, my first cousin, came over, and she said, she's always a lady. She looks like a queen. And so, Mama, I put her up there with First Lady and the Queen, and there's my mama. Let me ask you this. If I'd consider some moms and some sons, that's the mom. Who's the son? Y'all are doing good on the quiz here. How about Elizabeth? Oh, come on now. John the Baptist. See, they were first cousins, Jesus and John. How about Eve's sons? Cain and Abel. Y'all forgot Seth. Yeah, he was a... Because, see, the song that Adam used to sing, da 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 da, da 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 da. My three sons, don't you get that? That was Adam and Eve and Seth. How about Hannah's son? Come on now. See there? Learning them. Ha! Fooled you! Who in the world was Hannah? Exactly. Karen never misses a beat. Hannah was, she prayed for a son so much, so hard, so long. You're going to need a 1 Samuel chapter 1. Yeah, Hannah, you know how I remember her name? Hannah had Samuel, and Samuel grew up to be really the main prophet of the time. And that's when everybody had cleared away and didn't like God anymore. Because remember, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. So Ruth and Samuel. I'm going to pull my two ladies from those two books today, Ruth and Samuel. That was when people did right in their own eyes. And you know what? Those people who do right in their own eyes usually do things wrong. I tell them they're a legend in their own mind. They just do what they want to. How about this, Mom? Bathsheba. Remember, David committed adultery, and you say, oh, that was bad news. They lost that little boy. But God blesses us. I'm going to show you. I want to encourage you today. If you've ever messed up, raise your hand. Now, if I could pull out your sins and put them up here, how many people would go, don't tell people that? My hand's up. But you know what? God knows that movie. See, they took that movie and they put it on in heaven. You go, oh my. Remember they used to show game film? And yet God says, Edgar, I see your game film and I love you anyway. Oh man, that was embarrassing. We used to watch game on Monday. I remember our coach took us down there one time, put the game film on. This is from Friday. You know what he said, which made it worse? He said nothing. He clicked it on and went, we were over going like this after a while. Did we not do anything right? And finally he went and showed it and went, just turned off. He said, let's just go on out on the field. We practiced till 8:30 that night. He turned on the lights of the football field and kept us out there that long. I guess he was waiting until we did well. I don't know if we finally did well or he just give up. But you know who we had to play? We actually played like a quarter of a game. We played it. We played each other. He said, you better hit your friend like you'd hit anybody. I mean, he was aggravated. He was mad. What if God did that to us? Here's your game film. I'm glad he says, David, I have hopes for you. She had the wisest boy that's ever been born outside of Jesus. She had Solomon. What did God tell David by giving him Solomon? I'm still with you. David was a man after God's own heart. I like verses like that rather than say, oh, David's an adulterer. Well, Moses was a murderer. Abraham's a liar. Noah was a drunk. There's hope for us, isn't it? We're in good company. Now, I don't say that to make light of sin. I'm just saying I want to give you encouragement today. Sarah had Hagar had. Rebecca had smooth skin. Jacob. Jacob and Esau. Esau the hairy man. They were twins. Rachel had. And the little baby boy of that family, don't you know he was a spoil? Who's the little boy? Joseph was there, but what was Joseph's little boy, baby brother? Rachel died giving him childbirth. Yeah, Benjamin. So she had Joseph and Benjamin. Wonder if Benjamin was spoiled, 11 brothers taken up for him. I was a baby boy in my family too. And Ruth had this guy named Obed. And you say, what in the world is him? Well, hang on. Y'all did pretty good on your moms. Hannah, her son was Samuel. Ruth, her son was Obed. And I want to mention something about Hannah today. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Samuel. I won't take too long, but 1 Samuel chapter 1. Anybody need a Bible, you can get it from Mark's going to hand you a Bible. I just want to take a quick look at these two moms. I pick her because mothers, you do well to copy these guys, but guys, you don't get off the hook because I'm going to tell you the same thing. You'd do well to be after these two. These women were just, they're fabulous. They set such a good example. Joshua judges Ruth first and 2 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you think things aren't going good for me, sometimes I have a tough week. Well, guess what? There's a man named Elkanah. He has two wives. I don't know how they do that. Don't ask me. Say, I don't know if that was a biblical thing. They had a concubine. Sometimes they would have a maidservant. I just think I'm glad we're not like that. Some people look at that. And they do it in the Bible. I really don't know. But this man named Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah. One was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. So chapter 1 of Samuel, verse 3, year after year, this man went from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Who does this remind you of? Well, guess what? Jacob had, who was his wife? Jacob married, who did Jacob marry? Okay, Abraham's wife was Sarah. They had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Remember, Isaac married Rebekah, and they had Jacob and Esau. Jacob had these two wives, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. And so it was sort of like the same thing. He loved Rachel, would work 7 years for her, and then they pawned off Leah first. He had to work another 7 years to get Rachel, and then he had all these kids. And it's sort of like the same thing. He's got these two, and one of them irritates the other one. But he just wishes Hannah could have kids, and Hannah can't. So it's sort of like Rachel couldn't have kids, and she finally had Joseph. And then she had Benjamin at the last, and died in childbirth, giving him birth. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. The Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. You don't think brothers ever irritate each other, do you, as you were growing up? Y'all do stuff just spite each other. I mean, my brothers put me in about 5 tires one time, just roll me down the bank. That's what happened to me. I went over the bank, and about another 40 yards, I'd been in the creek. So, but I was willing to do it. They didn't have to. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? I want to pick on Elkanah right there. Don't you know? Why don't you eat? That means she had lost her appetite. Why are you downhearted? That means she's sad. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? I think he's just sort of clueless at this right here. Or sometimes a woman just wants something and us men just say, let's just pray. And that's not picking on her. Don't I matter? Well, of course you matter, but she wants this baby. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, by the way, Shiloh would be like us going up and having that once a year event in Jerusalem. What was that thing? That would be called. Remember, Jesus even showed up. Remember, they start off by putting blood on the doorpost in the Old Testament. That was the Passover. So they had Passover once a year. This is sort of like that. Once a year, they go up and celebrate. Well, here it is. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair in the doorpost at the Lord's temple in bitterness of soul. Sometimes when you get bitter, you can get angry. You can either get bitter or get better. She got bitter, but look, in bitterness of soul, she knew what to do. Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She started praying, and here's what she did as she was praying. She made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you'll only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. That reminds him of a vow that later Samson and even Jesus, a Nazarite, would take. As she kept on praying, so see, she's going to have a baby that's sort of like Samson and Jesus. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. I don't know. Again, I got to ask, have you ever prayed like that? Sometimes it's in a hospital room, and I've prayed, and my mama was there, and I'd say, and if a nurse would have looked at me, she'd have thought, you've lost it. No, I'm gaining it. I was telling Kate before the service, I won't go here too long or I'd probably weep. I was backslidden in high school. It's what Baptists like to call it. I was away from Jesus. And I think my mama probably prayed and said, whatever it takes, you get him back where he belongs. See, I took a hiatus from Jesus in high school and I thought I'd see what it's like to drink. No one's ever done that. Y'all have never done that in your life. I can remember, I didn't like the taste of beer, so I put tomato juice in it one time. The guy said, yeah, that's a red eye. So I had started drinking. I thought they had a trash can full of ice and put little Millers in it one time. And I went to the party and sitting there, and I'm thinking, and you just sit there and drink a few beers. I thought, I don't really like this, but now it's a contest. Guys are competitive. Mark, you wouldn't understand that, but I'll drink 7, Mark drinks 9. I'll drink 2 more, and now we're even. And I remember I was sitting there, and I was leaning against the wall. And I leaned over and was looking in a guy's kneecap. I had just sort of slid down the wall and didn't even realize it. And I thought, God, what am I doing? God gave me that, what are you doing? You just try things like that. And church soon becomes, you take cussing as a foreign language in school. And pretty soon you're not who you should be. And my mama probably was on her knees saying, whatever it takes to get him back. So he put her in a car wreck. When I get to heaven, I'll confirm that, but I have a feeling I'm right. And so then I go into a hospital room in Bluefield, West Virginia. And I said, God, she doesn't deserve this. I do. So they took about, you know, who knows, several gallons of fluid off of her, hurt her hip. They didn't know if she was going to make it. So I held her hand. And I said, God, you, y'all don't ever make promises to God, do you? You know, God, you get her out of this hospital. And guess what? I'll do better. It's time to come home, isn't it? He went. So I still took me a few more weeks. But I finally thought it's time to come home. And this woman gave her son to God. I'm not so sure that mama didn't do that to me when I was born. I was born, I wasn't even supposed to be here. And my mama used to tell me, she said, I just knew God had some plans for you. She could see me stand behind the pulpit. Mama see you better than we see ourselves sometimes. Anyway, God spoke to my heart, and I said, enough's enough. And I put stuff behind me, and I said, God, here's what God does for your sins. As far as east is to west, behind the sea of, in his sea of forgetfulness, behind his back, there are lawless acts I'll remember no more. I forgive you. That's just hard for us to take in. You really forgive me? Yeah, it's us that holds us. We're our worst enemy sometimes. And the devil reminds you of your mess ups, and God says, I'm doing better at that. God just picks me back up, gets me going. So here I am. And here's what Hannah says. She's saying, praying so hard. In that hospital room, I was praying, oh, thank Lord. They thought I was crazy. God answered my prayer. My mama got better. Oh, it's odd. I thought, Lord, this is the first time I've been praying for a long time. How long will you keep on getting drunk, get rid of your wine? He thought she was drunk. She said, not so, my Lord. And replied, I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. So you want to pour your soul out to. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, well, go in peace, and may God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something. She had her appetite back. And her face was no longer downcast. She's got that smile back again. You want to be revived? Talk to Jesus. He has a way to do that. Early next morning, they arose, worshiped before the Lord, and then went back home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife. The Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. And Samuel sounds like the Hebrew, heard of God. That's what his name means, heard of God. His whole name growing up, when you say Samuel, God heard my prayer. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. And then Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Chapter 2, I'm not going to read all that, but you ought to. About half of chapter 2 is her prayer. If you want to say, I don't know how to pray. Look at that. When Hannah prayed, you want to talk to a woman who's, boy, I wish I could know Hannah. She sounds like she's dedicated. It is. My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There's no one beside you. There's no rock like our God. You think she's, Hannah was hurting, but God heard her prayer. And I can just imagine she looked to heaven and made a promise, I'll give him back to you if you give him to me. And then she went on home. She was patient, and sure enough, Samuel lived a life dedicated to the Lord. He would go on to lead the people of Israel, anointing Israel's first and second kings, Saul and David. You think her boy grew up to be somebody? Yeah, the first major prophet. So after Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, they left. What's the next one? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, there's the law, Deuteronomy, and then Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, yeah, numbered the people, and then Deuteronomy is sort of a catch-all for the law. Then he went into Joshua, led them into the promised land. But then people began to fall away after they got into the promised land. What's the next one? They brought up some judges like Deborah and Gideon and Samson and all those guys. Tried to get it worked for a while, but the people get fall away again. Then after Judges, Ruth. He brought along this next lady, and Ruth sets an example. So where you are in 1 and 2 Samuel, Would you turn back a few pages to the left, and I'll give you Ruth's story. Now, you say, well, I'm sort of backslidden at times in my life. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I've been there and done that. And I think that describes Hannah wasn't necessarily backslidden. She just needed God to work in her life, and He did. She's a believer, so maybe you feel like I'm away from God. I know Jesus, but... Well, this woman doesn't even know God. She's a Moabite. Her family, her whole lineage... I'm trying to encourage you today to know God can still have hope for you. So Ruth, here she is. Ruth's a Moabite. She marries into the family. Ruth chapter 1, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine. See, the time of the judges. There was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. So they went into this place. It's not known to be godly. The man's name was Elimelech. Remember, the husband in the other story was Elkanah. These stories remind me of each other a little bit. His wife's name, Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephrata. You ever heard of that? Like, that's the place Jesus comes from. Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpha and the other one Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both her sons died. You talk about life. She's lost her husband and her two sons. Naomi is left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of His people, she wants to go back home. Provided food for him. Naomi and her daughter-in-law is prepared to return home from there. They're going to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah. Naomi and her daughter-in-law was prepared to return. With her two daughter-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, okay, I'm gonna go back home. Y'all go back, each of you, to your own mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you've been kind to me and to the dead. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. In other words, you go back, I got to go back home. Y'all have a life of your own. She kissed him, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? In other words, there's no reason but you should come with me. Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight. And then gave birth to sons. Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. As they wept again, Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But look, Ruth clung to her. Now here's a Moabite, and she's going to go back to Bethlehem. Moabite people aren't godly, and yet she's going to give up her life, her mom, her all this, her family, and she's going to go back with a woman named Naomi. And if you don't know what Naomi is, Naomi the Nag is probably what you could call her. This woman's mad at the world. And I'm not saying I wouldn't be. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. You go back with her. But Ruth said this, famous words out of this whole book. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. And there I'll be buried. I'm going to die beside you. You think she's committed? Oh, yeah. You can't run me off. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go back with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Hey, you're home! Ran out to meet them. What about this? When my daddy used to pull in the driveway, I'd run out to meet him. When mom and dad go get groceries, I'd run out to meet him. And I'd go, hey! Don't know now. Don't think I was a heavy eater. I just wanted the free stuff because in a box of cereal, you could get a free Matchbox car. Can I have that? Oh, Cocoa Puffs. We'd pour them all out in the bowl. Mom's like, so much for freshness. Find that car. Yes, leave that in the bowl. Had to give her something to do. She didn't have anything with five boys in the family. I even wanted to open up the Dove's. What was that? The detergent. Karen, what was that detergent? Fab. I remember it because of Fab 4. Open up Fab and it'd have a cup inside, a saucer. I'd dump all the soap powder out. Hey, cup. 5-year-old running around with the saucer. I mean, but it was free. So I went into Saucer or the car or something. I went to free stuff. When Daddy pulled in, hey, Daddy. Me and Lanny would fight sometimes. I know it's hard to believe, but I would fight. He's my four-year-old older brother, and somebody came around a little bit. But anyway, my mama said, if y'all keep fighting, so Daddy come home, Daddy pull his belt off and whip us. He said, now, every time y'all fight, when I get home, if I learn you've been fighting, I'm going to whip you. Next couple days, I don't know if I just wanted the attention or what. Daddy'd pull in, I'd run out, hey, we've been fighting. You know, I'd go, I mean, it's like, haven't even got out of the Jeep yet, and here y'all. So he'd whip us. Yeah. I just wanted the attention, I guess. Well, I loved him coming home. Can you imagine, what if he'd pulled in and say, Daddy, I just want the free stuff, and I went off. How would Daddy feel? I heard his feelings. Well, how about she's coming back? Naomi comes out, yay! And they all, oh, Naomi, give her a big hug. We haven't seen you, and you've been gone since the family. I'm glad you're back home. She said, oh, don't call me Naomi. Call me Myra, because my life's bitter. Myra means bitter. She said, my life's bitter. God's been so cruel to me. What's Ruth feel like walking behind her? Ooh. I didn't have to come with you, you old hag. She didn't say that. I didn't have to come back with you, but I'm going to be here. Ruth's a caregiver. Did you catch that right there? Anybody ever been a caregiver before? And I'd fuss a little bit until God would hit me. We're sitting at a Giles football game one time watching Giles get ready. We stood up for the national anthem. My mama's sitting there and she says, I don't feel too well. I said, you okay? She went, that means she's going to get sick. You ever do that? That's what Andy used to do. Andy says, I don't feel good. Pull the car over. We got 4.5 minutes. She's going to throw up. We could time it. When he said he's sick, he's sick. Mama said, I'm sick. I'm getting ready to play national anthem. I can't get her out of here. And don't pat me on the back. I deserve no credit. I thought Mama has cleaned up 1,000 messes. So I turned and she went, brrr, vomited right down my coat. And I patted her on the back. Wiped her mouth. I see people. She said, I must have just been, oh, I don't know, something I ate. I said, it's okay. A few minutes later, I said, all right, we'll get you the car. If anybody looked at me, Gregory, you vomited on yourself. Yeah, I made a mess. I didn't want them to think that was Mama. You ever want to take up your Mama? Ruth here is going, I'm going to take up for her. I don't care how much. She's a caregiver. I want to be a caregiver. I was going to clean up vomit out of the floor one time when Mama, she said, oh, you sure are good to me. I said, Mama, how many messes have you cleaned up? I owe you another 1,000. Call me Myra because the Lord's made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord's brought me back empty. And Ruth's like, why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune on me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So I'll just give you this story in a nutshell right here. Ruth is faithful. She refused to leave. She is a very responsible young lady because she found work in the next chapter, and she's picking up leftover grain. That'd be like the trash truck coming down and stuff falls out and you go over and pick it up. Only she's gleaning in a field, and she meets Boaz, and Boaz comes over and says, who's that lady over there working? And the foreman says, well, that's Ruth. He says, I've heard about her. Her reputation does what? Ruth comes over and says, I'm Ruth. Oh, I've heard about you, how you've come back, how you left your own people and come back to take care of your mom. That's mother-in-law. I'm very proud of you. Why don't you stay right here and glean in my field? Can I do that? Then he goes over to the workers. He said, you know, y'all's gleaning, y'all drop off an ear of corn every once in a while. Why don't you drop off a lot for her? What'd Boaz just tell you? He likes Ruth. Why don't you drop off something for her? And by the way, if any of y'all men whistle at her, you got me to deal with. Yes, sir. No cat calls when Ruth's around. He's taking care of her. So he goes over and says, Ruth, why don't you come over? The foreman says, she's only come under the shelter once, and that was to get a drink of water. He comes over and says, here, why don't you have something to eat? I'm going to take care of you. You glean in my field. Thank you, kind sir. She goes home, tells Naomi, I found work. He says I can come back tomorrow. And he's a kinsman redeemer, which means he's kin to us. And Naomi says, if he's a kinsman redeemer, that means he's a potential husband. He's one of our own. Ruth goes, what's that mean? Naomi goes, yes. She says, you go back tonight and you put on that great dress that you look good in, little perfume, looking sharp. Go up there on the threshing floor and go, how's it going? No, back then they did stuff different. Here's what the... She laid at the feet. She went into the threshing floor and Boaz and ate supper and fell asleep. And she laid down. Here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to uncover the person's feet and lay by them, which really shows sort of like you're honoring them. Can you imagine if we did that today? Some of the romances would be over if you uncovered some people's feet. Please put your shoes back on. It's over between us. Those are the people, you know, you put odor eaters in them and they lose 3 inches in height in one day. That's about the way. So she goes down, lays down, uncovers his feet. He wakes up in the night and says, I love this. He said, you could have chased after all the young men, but you didn't do that. You could be out running around. Why are you doing that? Well, my mom-in-law said too. I want to be obedient. Besides that, I think I love you, so what am I so... So she said, I care about you. And you're a kinsman redeemer. And he says, well, got good news, bad news. I am a kinsman redeemer, but there's one older than me, and he gets first dibs on whoever. Oh. She goes back home, tells Naomi. Naomi says, oh, tell me about your date. So she tells him about him. And she said, there's one other person that can have me instead of him. How long do you think they prayed that night? How long do you think those two ladies stayed up and talked about her date? All night? Meanwhile, how much sleep do you think Boaz got that night? God, he's the one, she's the one, I just know she is. But my older brother can... So next day, chapter 4, they're sitting there in the city gate. And the gate back then wasn't just a gate that you opened up a gate. This is a gate where, this is Floyd's barbershop. This is where the town gathered. Really, they sit around and tell stories and all that stuff. Hey, you see Giles won? I know. You know, they just got that. So Boaz is sitting on the wall, waiting. Oh, here comes these kinsmen redeemer. He steps out and says, okay, in front of all these witnesses, Ruth the Moabite, I don't know if you've heard of her. Naomi's back in town and their husbands are gone and their land's available. Do you want it? I bet you he is waiting right there. And the guy says, I'll take it. He didn't sink outwardly, but inside. He says, wait a minute. Before you take it, just remember, if you buy the land, you got to get Ruth and Naomi and the whole family comes with that deal. Oh. Well, that might take away from, I don't guess I want it. Why don't you take it? Yes. He says, excuse me just a minute. Yes. All right, I'm back now. And then he runs and tells Ruth, guess what? I'm going to buy the land and you get to be mine. They hug each other. Appeared in an episode of Love Boat. I mean, it was all, no, I was just, they're excited. How's God? He leaves them be. God's not through with these people yet. He's going to honor Ruth for doing what she did. I love Naomi's face. Got to tell you this part. Chapter 4, after he redeems it. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. The Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son. Women said to Naomi, please, praise to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel, if you only know. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who's better to you than 7 sons has given him birth. And then Naomi took the child. I love this. I don't know. It touches my heart. I just about blinked back a tear. Naomi, this old naggy woman, took a child. And it's like me holding Jimmy, laid him on her lap, and she just rocked him. And Ruth comes over and is like, you all right? I am now. Her little grandson. Oh, I And the grandson goes, I know. Cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. See what she did? It's Ruth's son, but it's like, Naomi, you got a baby again. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. You ever heard of King David? King David was this Obed's grandson. Oh, by the way, he didn't stop there. And then this is the family line of Perez. So Perez is the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Abinadab. Abinadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. And if you went back to Matthew chapter 1 and look in verse 16, 14 generations later, Matthew chapter 1, 14 generations after David is when the exile came back, and then 14 generations from there is when a little boy was born to a woman named Mary, whose name was Jesus. All from this woman. So Ruth is the great, 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 if you say that 28 times, grandmother of Jesus Christ. Think there's hope for somebody who's wayward. Ruth's son Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, who would be king. 28 generations later, a young baby boy would be born to a poor Jewish girl who would grow up to be the Savior of the world. You just never know. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today you remind me that I want to be like Hannah. I want to pray, and sometimes I do that, and words don't come out. Just my lips move. But my heart is speaking to you. My heart speaks loud and clear to your heart. I don't want to be. Whatever was before, and the next thing you know, she ends up being the great, 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 so many generations later, grandmother of you. So Jesus, my, what a heritage. So Lord, today, if we're wayward from you, if we're miss you during the week, if we haven't been praying like we should, today's our day to come home. Naomi came back, and may we not think our life is bitter like a Myra, but instead, Naomi thought, oh, my life is about over. A year or so later, she's holding a baby boy that she smiles at. Lord, refresh us, renew us, revive us, give us that life, give us that love. When we first got saved, we had such a joy. We've got to dust that off and bring that joy back to us. So, Lord, renew in us a fresh new spirit, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.